Well, good morning. As we look to God's Word, as we kind of finish up this series on spiritual gifts, there could be more and more said, but I don't want to make you sleep longer than you already have. No. just wanted really to look in this last section on something just so key, I think, to spiritual gifts that we haven't really looked at quite yet, and that is this idea of the love for one another and the one another's in Scripture, and how in some ways we might ask, well, where do I start with all of this? And I believe the Lord in His wisdom has given us a road that we can start walking down or continue on if we already are, and that is looking at the one another's. And as I thought of that, the fact that the gifts are given for the building up of the body of Christ, they're given to bring glory to God. There's many other reasons why the gifts are given. They're given to be a witness. I want us to look first at this idea of love. Because interestingly enough, the gifts all are summed up and wrapped in and around this idea of love. And before we begin there, let's just go to the Lord in prayer. And I just want to make sure to ask that I speak the words that are in His Word and not just my own words, as we are taught by Scripture. And we are maybe, as Timothy says, exhorted or encouraged or maybe corrected and rebuked, all for the training up in righteousness. So let's begin with prayer in this time. Father, as we open Your Word, may Your Word convict our hearts, move our hearts, use Your Spirit inside of us as You have promised and You have sent Him to us. May that Spirit resonate with the words that we read, the words of power, the only words that can change us, the only words that can cut quick directly into our hearts. No other book can do that. Lord, let us lift Your name high as we finish this series on spiritual gifts. You are worthy to be praised for the gifts that You have given to the church, for the strengthening of the church, for the witness of the church to the world. In Jesus' name, amen. So there's four things we're going to look at, and I'm going to try to make sure to remind you of truths to remember, as I think that's blank for you, but we have gifts for loving. Spiritual gifts are given for loving. That's where we're going to begin. But the gifts are meant also for gifting. And we'll kind of look at what that means and why we use the word gifting. And the gifts were given for the church, as we've read even in Ephesians chapter 4 and 1 Peter chapter 4, that it is meant to serve one another, to build the church up in love. But also, I believe we can't forget as we finish this series that gifts are for the world. They're for us to be a witness. We're going to begin here in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 on this idea of gifts for loving. Because what's very interesting is the Apostle Paul is speaking to us about these gifts. We kind of have looked at the list in chapter 12. We're going to look in chapters 13 now and also in chapter 14. But as he turns and even transitions at the very end of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he says, I will show you still a more excellent way. Well, what's more excellent than these gifts, you might ask? And then he enters into the chapter on love. And look how he begins. He compares these gifts with love. 1 Corinthians 13:1, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith, do these words now sound more familiar? Oh, I remember these from chapter 12. So as to remove mountains, but I have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I have delivered my body up to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. And he goes into that familiar passage on love. But isn't it interesting that Paul actually almost recaps all of the gifts, knowledge, prophecy, giving, sacrifice, leadership, apostleship. If I give up my life to be burned even, but he says, but I do not have love. I am nothing. It means nothing. These gifts are useless. If I do it for my own advantage, if I do it even maybe to get back at someone else, if I do it to show how amazing I am, if I'm not doing it for the other person, the whole nature of love, to sacrifice for the other. Where do I get that definition of love? The cross of Jesus Christ. This is how he demonstrated his love to us. He gave of himself for us. At the very heart of love is to think of the other, to do for the other, to sacrifice for the other. If Paul uses all of these gifts, or even maybe just one that's his strongest, but he doesn't do it out of love for the church and the other people, but he's doing it in some ways for himself or for his position or to gain money or to gain reputation, who knows what. If he does it for any other reason other than the love for the other, he gains nothing. The challenge is not just in the service itself, but it's in how we serve. That's the truth for you guys, for me. Man, it's so easy to do the motion, to serve, to get it done, but it's all in how we do it. It's all in how we prepare food for X, Y, and Z. It's all in how we greet someone else at the door. It's all in how we make coffee in the morning. It's all in how we look at these little ones in the nursery and in children's church, those young adults. It's not just in the doing, but it's in the how we do it. That's what the Apostle Paul is saying. That's where we have to begin, with love. And I'm preaching to myself here that I have to check my heart. As that old book says, check your heart at the door. Check my motives. Why am I serving? Why am I doing what I am doing? Just a few verses on this idea of serving one another with love. Romans 12:10. Love one another with brotherly affection. And I need this just as much maybe as you do. Well, what's that love look like? Well, here's a definition in Romans 12:10. Outdo one another in showing honor. No, let me get that for you. No, let me do that for you. No, actually, let me do that for you. Outdo each other. Oh, your hands are full. No, let me do that for you. Don't worry about it. How can we step in and outdo one another? Okay, it's not a competition. That's not what this is meant to do. But that's one way we love. We go above and beyond in honoring the other person. We just read 1 Corinthians 13:1-3, that we gain nothing if we don't do it in love. Galatians 5:13 says, "For you are called to freedom, brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another, Galatians 5:13. And Ephesians 4, that passage on equipping the body and training up the body and building the body up so that it is serving and fulfilling God's mission. It begins in this way, speaking truth in love. We're to grow up in every way, building each other up. How do we do that? Well, we first have to do it in love. Just as we read this morning, right? That we can speak words that reflect the gospel. We can also do things that reflect the gospel. We can give. We can forgive. We can show mercy. We can be generous as Jesus has been so generous with us. We can, you know, for many of us, we sacrifice our time. We give of our time. We say, this is important to help this other person or to make this meal for or to spend an hour doing. I have to confess, I will. Yesterday, I had my brother in the Lord at men's breakfast trying to lift a, 80-pound door all by himself while I was talking about theology with someone else. And I just hear this grunting going on over here, and I'm in conversation about, you know, truth, but what needed to happen was my brother needed help. I don't want him to go for back surgery as well. I won't name this brother. He might get reprimanded, so. But I should have been there in love to say, don't do that. Don't do that by yourself. There's lots of hands. I should have been paying attention to you doing that. I was in conversation. It was a good conversation, by the way. But I thought, Lord, how can I love in how I serve? What's my motive in doing this? The challenge is not in just the service, but in how we serve. Secondly, the spiritual gifts are for gifting. And I just, the Lord just kind of brought this to my heart that for some of us, one or the other is the hardest. You know, for some of us, we love Christmas because we get to open presents. We just love the receiving. I actually love a surprise. I don't want to know what people might wrap me or whatever. I do love that receiving. But on the other hand, I have a hard time saying, I need help. I need to receive someone else's help. I need to let someone else serve. And when they do, I thank you, thank you, thank you. Because I have a hard time to receive grace from someone else, receive that gift. For some of us, though, we love Christmas because we get to give. You know, we've got our Christmas finished December 3rd, or actually the day after Thanksgiving when everything goes on sale. And we've got our list of, okay, he's getting this, she's getting this. And we just love the giving. And it's all set. And we're just thrilled that we can give to someone else. That's the same with spiritual gifts. Some of us love to give and serve someone else, and yet it's hard to say, I need the help right now. I need another person. We'll receive, but it's hard to give. It's hard to know what to give. Sometimes we just don't even know where to begin. Do I say hello? Do I extend my hand? Oh, have you ever had your hand extended and no one was there to shake it? Or a wave and they weren't pointing at you or looking at you, and you're just like, oh, that wasn't for me. But which one is difficult? The giving? The receiving? That's the difficulty sometimes even in the body of Christ is, how do I give to this? Or how do I ask for help? I'm not good at receiving. But the gifts are given for gifting. Acts 20, 34 through 35, Paul's own testimony. You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my necessities and to those who were with me. In all things I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Acts 20:35. We read already Romans chapter 1 where Paul shares to Rome, I long to see you in verse 11 so that I might impart to you a spiritual gift. I want to be able to use the gifts God's given me to the church in Rome. I am longing to see you so I can give of you my gifts so that we, as the text keeps going, may be mutually encouraged. That's like both right there, that the Apostle Paul wants to give of his spiritual gift and the church has to be willing to receive it so that they both can be mutually encouraged. You know, I think I've intentionally tried to say yes more often when someone has offered to do something kind. Would you like me to come over and... Yes. Would you like me? You know, I know sometimes for me that's been a struggle. No, it's okay. I've got it. Don't worry. It's just a really small thing. But I'm giving up that chance for that other person to use their gift as well. If I say yes, then we get to both be mutually encouraged, both using the giving and the receiving. But I know for myself, I've said, no, it's okay. It's just a small thing. Don't worry about it. And that person who wanted to give was not able to give. I wasn't able to say yes. I'll receive that grace from you. What a great challenge for us to be able to receive and give and to say yes when maybe we want to say, no, it's okay, I've got it. Although I don't know, I saw a gentleman helping another gentleman with a raincoat on and an umbrella. That's like going over and beyond. I think he stayed doubly dry out there today. But even in that little service of taking an umbrella to someone in the parking lot and saying, yes, I'd love to stay dry right now. The giving and receiving of the body of Christ. And of course, this gifting comes first from God himself. James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Why can we give? Why even Christmas? Why even this idea of gift giving? Because our Father started the process. Every good and perfect gift has come down from him. At his heart, he is a gift giver. Even as we read John 3:16, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, the grace of God, is eternal life. He's a giver. The heart of our God gives. And we, I pray, have received that eternal gift. If you've received from the Lord, I pray that we would be able to then receive from our fellow brothers and sisters. And even 1 Peter 4:10, which we've looked at in this series, but again it says, as each has received a gift. Spiritual gifts are called gifts. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another. We use these gifts to exercise the one another's. And if you have time, just look at Ephesians chapter 4. It's interesting how what is happening there, the Apostle Paul is showing the old life and the new life, what was and what Christ has now done. And he says in that section, let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands so that he may have something to give, to share with anyone. Isn't that neat to see that picture of the change in someone who used to be a thief, the taker? He would take when he didn't even ask. And now, because of God, may he work and labor so that he now has something to give to someone else. and the truth is each of us has one strength or the other. Are you strong in giving? You need to grow in the receiving. Are you good at receiving? You need to grow at giving. You have to maybe just think even that, well, my Father, He's the great giver. He has given me everything I need. The truth is, we're called to be givers and receivers in the body of Christ. And maybe this morning your yes or your no can be turned around. Spiritual gifts are given for loving, they're given for gifting, and they're given for the church. And I just don't have the time, but I printed out, if you want to take one of these sheets in the lobby, this is a list of all the one another's. And it kind of categorizes them by unity, by love, by humility, and then there's a bunch that are others. Just to give you a heads up, it also says in Scripture to greet one another with a holy kiss. Don't know what that should look like right now, but just be mindful that might need to look a little differently in our day and age. But we're called to greet one another with a holy kiss. We're called to build one another up in love, as Ephesians 4 shares. Romans 15:7, therefore welcome one another. There's the phrase for the greeters, right? Scripture right there. We're called to welcome each other. For Christ has welcomed you to the glory of God. What a beautiful thing. Ephesians 4:32, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. The spiritual gift of mercy, compassion, feeling for the other person. Colossians 3:9, do not lie to one another, speak truth to one another. That's the gift of maybe exhortation or teaching. We're called to speak truthful words. Even if we are teachers influencing younger generations, we desire to be truthful. Well, I have this phrase with Elizabeth. Actually, she has more of this phrase than I do. She's reminding Daddy, Daddy, be truthful. And I'm going, no, that's not how that's meant to be. Stick to your word, Dad, or, you know, stick to your promise, be truthful. And I have to tell Elizabeth, I am being truthful. And that's why you're not happy right now. I have to stay consistent. I have to stick to my word. But are we truthful as we teach? Colossians 3:13, we bear with one another. Galatians 6 actually reminds me too, for the one who is struggling and in sin, you who are spiritual and strong need to go to the weak and help bear with them their load. Galatians chapter 6 is a beautiful passage if you want to look at that as well. All of these reminders of one another's. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, therefore encourage one another and build one another up. 1 Thessalonians 5:15, always seek to do good to one another. Another gift, hospitality, opening your home, welcoming people. 1 Peter 4:9, show hospitality to one another without grumbling. Oh, see, it's not just in the service, but it's in how we serve. We have to show hospitality without grumbling. Oh, just those extra two words. And I love James chapter 5:16. It says, pray for one another. Pray for one another. Some of you, that is your gift. You are supplicating for others. You are going to the throne of the Lord, praying for others. For some of you, you've been praying for family members and friends year after year after year, supplicating for them to come to Jesus. All these gifts can be for the one another. And the challenge for us in this one anothering is that we're going to serve differently. The one another's are all going to look differently. One's hospitality is going to look different than your hospitality. One's encouraging word might look different than her encouraging word. But all these one another's, that's a great starting place. If you need to find a roadmap to begin with your gift, maybe you've discovered a gift of yours, or maybe you did a test, or maybe someone has shared with you in this series, you know, you're really good at this. Well, you can begin by looking at these one another's. How can I use that gift toward these kinds of things? But we want to close, because though I think there's an emphasis on the spiritual gifts for the church, it's to build up the church. It's to bring glory to God by the one another's of the church. I also believe there's one another's that can be done in the world no matter where we are. And of course, as we read in John 13:35, by this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. The gifts don't stop here. When the one another's are happening here, the world is looking on and they're seeing something different. And it says, all people will know and ask, who are you following? What kind of a church are you that you would love and serve someone else? Some of you have stories to tell. Some of you have had conversations with that exact question. And I say this because Acts 1:8 tells us that you will receive power. We will receive power, the ability to do when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And what is that power for? You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the world. When God gives us gifts, it is for the church to be built up, but it is for the world to see a power that is not our own. Something supernatural happening. I'm sure actually that there's story after story, and I know of some stories told to me of people in the hospital and doctors and the impressions and the nurses. They're going, there's something different about this individual. For some who I visited, you have a smile on your face telling me the grim news. Or I have to be here another week, but I'm okay. God has me in his hands. What kind of a witness could that be to the world? For some of us, we're just thankful that it's Sunday and we got through last week. And we're saying, Lord, give me the strength for this next one. And he does. He gives us the power through his Spirit. There's also another place that I want us to close, and that is in 1 Corinthians 14. And it begins in verse 23, that we are a witness to the world. If therefore the whole church comes together, this is 1 Corinthians 14:23, if therefore the whole church comes together and all speak in tongues and outsiders or unbelievers enter, will they not say they are out of their minds? Might be confusing. But if all prophesy, if all speak the truth of God, speak his words from Scripture, and an unbeliever or outsider enters, he is convicted by all. He is called to account by all. The secrets of his heart are disclosed. And so falling on his face, he will worship God and declare that God is really among you. Wow. That might be one of the most powerful little glimpses of the power of the church. If someone comes in witnesses all these people worshiping someone other than themselves, but God on high, opening his word. That word convicts us, and it might convict that individual. And it says they fall on their face, and they worship God. And it's because of the gifts that he uses in the church. It could be because of your gift that someone just says, I just can't beg but ask the question, .. Or tell me about what is different about you. I don't see my other friends like that doing what you're doing. Or whatever the scenario might be. Our gifts are also for the world. When we were called to be witnesses to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the end of the world, we were empowered with gifts. And some of you might still be asking, well, where could I serve? Greeters, we have Coffee Connection, we have Little Ones Nursery, we have Children's Church Kids, we have a prayer team that happens Sunday morning, we could have more prayer happening during the weekdays. The gifts and the ways to use your gifts could be endless. We're praying for youth leading, we're praying for music leading, we're praying for our community and our school. There's ways to serve our school and be a witness in the school. There's ways to do things in our community, food banks, etc., etc. Maybe ask our secretary, is there a way I can use my administration, my organizational skills? We could go on and on. But if you're wondering where to start, come talk to a leader or talk to a fellow Christian. Talk to any of us. We'll figure out a way for you to serve the body if that is your desire. And I would pray, may God do this work in you. Let it not be a system or pressure or some type of legalism. God needs to stir within you a desire to serve. And so many of you, as I have said, you are already serving. God has done that in you. Praise God. So, the gifts. So many applications. But we have to end somewhere. And all these gifts are given by the Holy Spirit, and they point us to our great Savior, Jesus Christ. So let's close praising him and singing to his name. Amen? Father, thank you for what Jesus has done. Thank you that as he shared with his disciples, he had to go so that he could send to us the Helper, the Holy Spirit. And Lord, I pray that each one in this room has received Jesus Christ, that free gift. They have been humble to say, I need a Savior. I need forgiveness of sin. I know I have broken God's law, and I need to be changed from the inside out. And Lord, maybe that comes about as everyone in this room is utilizing their gifts, whether it be their strengths and even their weaknesses, to point again to the glorious Savior Jesus Christ, who saved a wretch like me. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. And we all say, Amen.